Dating me is a bit like a Christmas cracker. Shit jokes, decent bang. You get a little hat.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Nate.
Christmas, everyone.
Oh, wow.
I was hoping it was going to be Christmas themed.
Absolutely. I couldn't not have a Christmas themed joke.
So you will get a bonus point for that. And I was quite impressed by Medlin's reaction as well.
So that's very good.
After we get Medlin.
I think Medlin's reaction has actually become the kind of barometer of if it's good or not. So no.
Hang on.
No, but I mean but Lawrence, you chuckle at a lot of things, which I like, because I do as well. Me and you laugh at Medlin, it's a lot to crack Medlin.
That's true. That is true. Which is why it's gonna be a high score today, Nate.
Oh.
It's going to be a high score. And I think this is going to be the final score before we move to decimal places.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Ooh. For 2022.
This suggests that you wanted to give it a decimal place.
I did. It's going to be a 9, Nate. A 9.
Another 9. Nice. Okay.
Another 9. See, it's become too easy for you to get.
Give this a 9.5. This can kick off the decimal places.
No, this should be the final 9. And then it gives us content for January to work out all the 9s and go through it.
Yes. One final 9. Ever. No more 9s ever. And then my first joke next year, you'll be like, that's probably a 9. Not a 9.5.
One.
Better than 8.5. It's a 9.
Excellent work. I like it. I also like that the judgment came from a man wearing an elf costume.
Yeah. No one can see that, but it. I wish they could.
Oh, I've screenshotted it. Don't worry. He's got his elf ears on. He's got his elf top on. Ben Hunt is going to be delighted with you, basically. It's sensational.
Yeah, they started a couple of years ago, didn't it? Pre-season testing.
Yes.
But for reasons I can't remember why, Ben Hunt.
I think what you're wearing now.
Oh, yeah. He found me on Facebook, didn't he? Found me on Facebook and then created a Photoshopped version of me as an elf.
It was excellent. Was it a Photoshopped version?
Well, because then he created a GIF he made a GIF of some sort.
I thought it was that you actually had a photo of you in an elf outfit.
No. That did exist. And then I'm going to see if I can try and find it. That did exist. And then during testing, he created a GIF.
Ah, well, strong. Very strong work. At least he did something. Never does any work. Anyway, shall we?
Welcome to The Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Brette, senior writer at F1.com.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders from ESPN.
Wow. Merry Christmas,
chaps. I think I'm losing my voice. I think I went quite high when I did that. Oh,
you did. It was all the jingling in the background.
Well, I mean...
It's all the Christmas caroling I've been doing.
Yeah. What if you were a Christmas caroler, Lawrence? What would your go-to song be when they open the door?
It's very standard. Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Oh no, Medlin's disappointed. My favourite song of all time is "Driving Home for Christmas," but I obviously couldn't sing that at the door of someone's house because I wouldn't be driving.
Why not? Because where's your ambition? Get yourself an a cappella band. No, I won't. That was going to be horrific. I've just saved everyone.
What about you, boys? Favourite Christmas song?
I'd do the Family Guy one. It's like, I have these gifts for you. They're up in my bum. No, I quite like the song that doesn't really sound Christmassy at all. The Joan Lewis one, you know, Stop the Cavalry. I quite like that one, but you can't really sing it on the. That's probably my favourite Christmas song. Don't know why. Probably because it sounds as un-Christmassy as anything else. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to listen to that.
Well, if we can't do actual Christmas songs, because the darkness Christmas time. Would definitely be up there.
Yeah, that's up just, there as well.
Just for being a song that has the words Bell's End in it. which, how they got away with that, I never understand. But I'd be Good King Wenceslas. Just because of In Love Actually, when the big Welsh security guard dude is like singing along with it and he goes properly operatic, I think. I just thought that was funny.
Would you go properly operatic, Chris?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Can you give us a little rendition?
Yeah.
No. I haven't cleared my throat. I haven't done my warm-ups today yet. It's early.
I thought you were going to say you hadn't cleared it by your agent, is what I thought you were going to say.
Well, that too. That too, yeah. Different markets, you know.
different markets, different needs.
I'm on this podcast as a Formula One, well, journalist in inverted commas, compared to when I'm doing my opera. So I can't mix and match the two. Dangerous game then.
It is a dangerous game. I can't believe you're even inviting questions on it, Medus, because this is going to be a running theme now.
Yeah.
I'll do my 60-second review and then Medlin can sing an operatic 30-second review.
That would be incredible.
And Medus is like, and it won't
happen. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, setting people up with, wouldn't this be cool? It's like, yes, it would, but it ain't happening.
it would be great. You can all imagine it.
But I tell you what is happening is I'm going to read a review out, actually. Ooh.
Nice.
Because we have had one since the last episode, and it all revolves around the one in-person pod we did when we worked out Bretto's clean scale. Or we didn't really work it out, did we? But it's a review from Poppy 67890, titled Slightly Clean. And it says, this podcast is a must-follow if you have any interest in F1. If you're looking for on-topic, strict analysis, you should find something else. Probably a podcast for those that frequent the nerd bird ring.
Nice.
If you're looking for entertainment, interesting stories, and some insight into what's happening in F1, then, babe, you will love Paddock. Sounds less like a polished show and more like three good friends sitting around talking about F1, except they know more about F1 than you and your two friends. Seriously, have your friends played golf with Lando Norris?
That's true.
Thank you, Poppy. I really like it, and at the same time, reading it out makes me sound like a knob. So
that's why read these matters.
Yeah, that's probably the perfect review, really.
Yeah, thanks, Poppy.
That is one hell of a review.
You've encapsulated all of Medland.
Apart from my operatic history.
Yes, that's true. Never mind. If people could do the next one, like with some written out as like musical, whatever that's called, and you write it as music with the notes and stuff, music. I realized about 3 seconds into that, or 3 milliseconds, I was like, I don't know anything about music. not really. not anything.
Nor do I. This is why I'm not singing.
Yeah.
Now we're going to put pressure on Nick today.
They are, gents, yeah.
Because we're honest here. We tell people the story behind the story, and behind this story of this recording of the Paddock is that Nate slept through his alarms and was a little bit late joining us, so didn't have time to record a 60-second review. But
we can't disappoint now, can we?
Exactly.
It's Christmas time.
So
we don't want to let the bells end. So
so to keep them ringing, Nate is going to do a 60-second review on the fly, which I believe is going to be a run-through of the championship order.
I guess so. I guess that's the easiest way of doing it, yeah. And this is completely unpolished, so you know, you guys feel free to interact as we go.
Okay, we will. There's a lovely fresh Christmas intro for you to enjoy before we start, and then I'm going to put a timer on the screen so Nate is under pressure.
So does this, I always start the timer when I start with the first name.
Oh, you'll see it on the screen, and you'll see hit start when you start. So don't worry, I won't have started it before you're ready to go.
Nice.
Oh no, what you mean is there's going to be a bit of preamble, right, Nate? You're going to do a little
sometimes,
bit of preamble
I like to
the 60-second start.
Yeah, mainly because I'm trying to work out what I'm going to say with the first one.
You're stalling, aren't you, Nate?
Yeah. Let's go. Medus, why are you stalling? Come on.
You've only got 1 minute to spare. Now we made it through the whole year. Sit back, relax, cause we got you. Here's Nate with a special Christmas review.
Love that. That's awesome. Thanks to Martin again for that. So here we go. The 2021 Drivers' Championship review. Me. First place. Oh, guys, mine's wrong. It says Max Verstappen's first, not Michael Massey. Am I right? am I right, everyone? No, Super Max was first. Lewis Hamilton in second. He did pretty well, didn't he, for an old geezer. Valtteri Bottas in third. He was there all year. Mexico's Minister of Defense, Sergio Perez, in fourth. And look who's in fifth. It's perfect. Sweet Carlos Sainz, la la la. Fifth place never seems so good. Medus.
So good. So good. So
this
good.
This is great. Lando Norris in sixth. We love Lando. Charles Leclerc, pretty consistent, but seventh. Danny Ric, up and down in eighth. In ninth position, who do we love? Gasly. Love Gasly. Ocon, Vettel, Stroll. He's still driving. Tsunoda in 14th. George Russell, 15th. He did pretty well, actually, didn't he? Kimi Raikkonen in 16th. Kimi, what a way to go out. Just manfully in oh shit, I've got 6 seconds left. Latifi, loves Nutella, Giovinazzi, Schumacher, Kubica beat Mazepin.
What a finish.
That was
the alarm is going off. That was bang on. Wow. 60 seconds with Kubica beat Mazepin.
The funny thing with that alarm was because you held it up to your screen, I could see myself in your screen as well, and I was just I had to keep stopping and admire the beauty of what was happening.
Double. of yourself.
Yes.
And as soon as you'd said that, you've taken your hat off.
I have, yeah. It's time for...
Like, no, I look better bald.
Yeah. Time to take the hat off. No, but thanks again to Martin for that review. The review jingle. That was awesome. Yeah, it was magic. Yeah. Really
essentially,
cool.
We just wanted an excuse to still use it.
And also, congrats to Martin, because he's a Verstappen fan. So I think he was pretty happy the last couple of weeks.
He is. We maybe sent him a little bit of Verstappen merch for his jingle efforts. So it's much appreciated. And the Verstappen fans are happy. The Hamilton ones still aren't, understandably.
Yeah, especially not with you, Medders. Having the audacity to sit and enjoy a Sunday evening off without holding people to account 24/7.
Exactly.
You're a monster.
I tweeted that I was watching football on Sunday because it was the first proper day off I'd had in about 4 weeks with the way the season ended. And and there was the Harry Kane nearly should have got a red probably for a tackle that VAR looked at and said was okay. And I was like, that looked a bit dodgy. And it was quite interesting. I was like, oh, see, other sports also have refereeing decisions that people are not happy with. So I tweeted that and I got all sorts of abuse because apparently that tweet meant that I was brushing the FIA under the carpet and saying that everything was fine at the final race. The really interesting bit, I am going to slightly defend myself right now because you give me this opportunity. I kept getting sent or like used against me was the intro to a piece I'd done for the Mail Plus where they'd just asked me to write something for my feelings on the final race. And the intro was basically saying, this season deserved to end exactly the way it did with Max Verstappen like winning on the last lap, overtaking Lewis Hamilton. That would have been an incredible way of doing it. But what it didn't deserve is like the manner in which that was created and all this sort of thing. And the whole piece afterwards goes in and has a right go at the FIA and Massey for influencing things. And just saying that this is just not on and it's tainted this kind of final race and all this. And like both of them were hugely worthy champions, but like now you just can't look at that final race and think, oh, well, that was a fine way to end the season. But all everyone did that wanted to use against me was clip up this intro and be like, this is disgusting. And I'm like, did you read the whole thing for starters? And secondly, this is a slightly dick move, but this is only for fans of the paddock. I haven't tweeted this out. But I actually got a direct message from a senior member of Mercedes who read that piece when it went live, like just over a week ago now, saying it was excellent. So the irony that all of the Team LH that are very angry were saying, oh, you're disgraceful. You're not, you know, this piece is horrible. And actually Hamilton's own team were very happy about it. Not why it was written, but I just thought, you know, their reaction was interesting tonight. So, that's been one of the things that has got my goat over the last few days.
But mate, it was a good piece as well. And I think it's one of the, one of the more concise pieces on it. Cause also that's completely right. Like you tweeting that Lewis Hamilton, like if you said, oh, Lewis Hamilton should have won, it's like, well, he didn't win. Like, that's not factually what happened. Max won it and Max is the champion now, whether people want to put an asterisk next to it or not. So yeah, there's a lot of very strange people on Twitter. I felt bad to you because I saw there was loads of quote tweets, like a disproportionate amount of quote tweets. And I went and looked at them and it was just all that basically. And I saw a lot of those screenshots. So
that was fun. Merry Christmas. But
I feel you get a bit of a hard time, Medland. I feel bad for you.
I'd say actually I didn't used to, but as Nate pointed out, I think in a previous pod, the last couple of weeks with Brazil and Qatar and like the final four races, basically, and all the investigations and controversies that were going on, like Twitter blew up and my following like doubled in 3 or 4 weeks. And when you have suddenly like loads of people that are following, then you're going to get a very small minority that are really unhappy and take things the wrong way. Because for half of them, like I said, like, you know, they started circulating this intro to a piece. I'm like, but if you actually, like, if you just look at the intro, you probably are going to be angry because you think, is that, you know, they're saying that this is absolutely fine and how it should have been and that the FIA were right to manipulate it to let Max win. I'm like, no. But if you just read that intro, you might think that. So you understand, if someone's angry, they just then reply straight off without actually going and reading it or finding the piece. So that's just going to happen, I think. I've actually been very lucky. I think we all have, because we talk some absolute shite on this podcast. Yeah. And we don't get much abuse for it. It's great.
Yeah. That's why we do the review, because people laugh a bit and they're like, oh, I'll let them get away with saying some shit.
Yeah, you weren't very controversial actually in this review. I was slightly disappointed.
No, I know. On the cuff, I'm not very controversial, it turns out. I'm just a bit bumbly.
I enjoyed it though. I enjoyed you singing Sweet Carlos Sykes.
Yeah, that, I mean, that, if nothing else, you know, if Meadows won't give the fans some singing, then I
sang
will.
Too.
Yeah, true, actually. You did do the na 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 bit, didn't you? Oh, so good, so good, even, sorry.
Exactly.
The darts bit.
And that was definitely operatic, right?
I think so. I mean,
we've got a frowning elf.
the worst kind of elf.
Chaps. I can't believe that the year is almost over. Can you?
It's weird that the season is, isn't it? Yeah. Like, sat here and being like, there's no more racing. There's no more, like, nothing else to happen.
Don't worry. It'll be here before you know it. So enjoy it while it lasts.
That's true. I think as we record, it's 64 days until the first day of preseason testing.
Don't do that. People were doing that when we left Abu Dhabi. Like, oh, there's this many. And I was like, why are you like this? I saw people tweeting like on the Monday after, like being like, oh my God, what am I going to do without F1? It's like, I don't know, go out and just go do stuff, other stuff. Like, your life doesn't have to be about motor racing. Like, it was an amazing season, but also, like, surely there's other stuff in your life to watch, right? Or to do. Watch Succession or something. I'm watching loads of Succession. It's great.
What I love about this period is that you kind of get away from it all and then you get excited about the next year. Like, I don't see how you could get excited again if you haven't had time to do other things, like you said, Nate.
Exactly. Yeah, like in late Jan, you're like, yeah, I'm ready for some racing again now. But right now, I'm kind of like, I'm happy that there's a few weeks without it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially with how it finished last year. It's like, okay, everyone needs to just go and sit in a box for a bit and not talk about F1. A literal box as well. I don't think anything, that wasn't me, that wasn't a metaphor. Go and find a box and sit in it like a cat.
I've got one for Christmas.
Have you?
Yeah, it's how you avoid the family. You can hide in the box during Christmas Day.
What's in the box?
But yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing is as well, this off-season is not going to be much of an off-season, is it? One, because it's so short, and two, because that Abu Dhabi stuff is not going to go away. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, never mind, Christmas has happened, so we'll forget that there was a massive fuck-up. Like, we're definitely going to have a lot of kind of fallout still that will come for the next weeks, months. Probably going to be like running at pre-season testing. It'll be a bit like the Ferrari like power unit stuff, where suddenly you've almost forgotten that it was a thing, and then pre-season testing they were like, oh, by the way, we sorted it, but we're not going to tell you how or why. That was, I mean, not subtle at all, but yeah, that's how I think this winter might go a little bit. So it'll keep us busy, but you're right, like, Christmas is here. This is the Christmas special, and we are, I mean, a week ago it was the start of testing. Like, I was still in Abu Dhabi watching cars on track. Like, it's been so quick. I've got so much shopping still to do and wrapping and stuff and all of that lark. It's just amazing how, like, because that's how I define the end of the year. Like you say, you get through New Year's and then you hit January and you're like looking ahead then to the next year. But until Christmas is out of the way, I never do that. But it's already here.
Scary. But looking back this year, let's talk highlights.
Yeah.
What were your favorite moments? It can be a moment that specifically happened to you, or it can just be a favorite moment on track. It can be anything. I'm leaping it really open for you guys.
I know, I'll jump straight in.
Okay.
So the grid, being on the grid in Abu Dhabi was awesome. Like, the tension there was amazing. I'm sure you guys felt the same thing. Like, standing between the Mercedes and Red Bull, like, it was palpable. I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, you had the fans there. But personal one was, we've spoken about it, was chat doing the walk with Danny Ric down the pit lane and down the paddock in Austin, kind of interviewing him about the Dale Earnhardt car. And then we were just chatting a bit after, just stuff like that. It reminds you, like, it's how good it is to be back in the paddock. And also you were saying, or that review said, you know, mates that know more about F1, like, that's how you end up knowing a lot more about F1 in a way, is actually having that interaction with drivers and people in the paddock. And you realize how important that is to just shaping everything you're writing, basically. You know, it gives you a bit more authority to stuff. So that was pretty cool. I think paddock, just generally, there wasn't a race this year where I was like, oh, a bit bored of being here. Like, being back in the paddock was really cool. Brazil was fun for that reason as well, like just being right there in the thick of the action. Maybe because I didn't do so many, I think I did maybe six. So that, you know, like there was no novelty factor that wore off. I wasn't there like, if I'd gone to Sochi, maybe I'd be different. You know, my course is Sochi. But yeah, I'd say those handful of moments, and also singing Mamma Lauda on repeat in Great.
I'm really sad that I wasn't in the room when that was happening.
Oh, I mean, next time I'll voice note it to you, mate. I'll just, you know.
Well, I just hope I'm back in the media center next year so I can just hear this stuff live.
That's true, actually. We need to get you back. Petition to get you back in. Let's shake up F1.
I feel like Medlem is back in there. The closing part this year.
Yeah, the last two races, yeah. I managed to do like both with my normal roles. I just had to limit kind of time spent with the broadcast team, but I think that door sort of opened a bit. It just depends, I guess, how COVID goes over the winter. We won't make this dark and talk about COVID too much, but yeah, if it stays really bad and they need to be strict at the start of next season, then it might be hard. Whereas I think if the season starts with more relaxed restrictions, like, and the rest of the world's in a good place, then got a better chance of having Barreto back with us.
Yeah. But what about you guys? What any standouts, or have I stolen them all?
No. I've got a huge, definite highlight with Spa. That whole week was just epic. Loved being in isolation in a hotel room and then finally getting out for race day, which was a special, special day. That was a low light, 100%.
Hang on. Stu and I bought you bacon sandwiches.
Oh, that was the highlight of the week. Bacon and egg. It was, I think it had sausage. I think it might have been all three. That was awesome. The problem there was I hadn't seen any of you. I was still worried because we'd been, even though we'd had three PCRs that were negative since, you're still slightly nervous, stood anywhere near anyone. So I was standing a little bit away. I had coffee in one hand, sandwich in the other. I think I gave Stu my coffee so I could use both hands to eat the sandwich. And because I was stuffing my face, I didn't say a word. So I think I just ate it. And by then the conversation was over and everyone left. I was like, thanks. But yeah, that was my finest sandwich of the year. I'll give you that. That is a highlight. For me, Zandvoort was very cool. As an event, that was really cool to see. And it was kind of refreshing to have something new with a big crowd that was, it felt actually very secure. I think the figures were okay around that, and the way they organized it was really good. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. That kind of felt like F1 again, as did Austin. My highlight though might be non F1, and it might be doing the Indy 500, just because it was bucket list item that I'd ever done, and I got the chance to do it. To do Monaco and Indy back to back on consecutive weekends was damn cool, even if there was stress. Amazing. So that was really cool to do.
I'm not surprised to say that, actually, having done Indy before. It is like it when F1 always says like, I did do Indy. The Indy 500. But when F1 is always like, oh, we want like five Super Bowl, like 23 Super Bowls or whatever, or 23 Indy 500s. Like, well, you can't have 23 of those. Like, it's a special race for a reason. And I think that's what always impresses me with the Indy 500, is that even though it's part of a season, it's such a big event, and it clearly is the biggest event on the calendar. It's a really special one. Lawrence, if you don't go soon, then the paddock will be incomplete.
I'd like to go. It's on my bucket list to go.
Sweet. Well, let's fill that bucket list up with stuff, achievable stuff.
Yeah, next year is not particularly achievable, is it? Because it clashes. Qualifying week clashes with Spain and race week with Monaco. But I mean, good for motorsport fans who are watching it from home. But yeah, it means we can't cover both, which is a bit of a shame. But hopefully that then means...
won't be able to do much of anything next year, to be honest. There's so many races.
Yeah, that's true.
And all of my friends who are getting married, like in 2019, are getting married on free weekends. So like, I'm already in a position where I'm like, I think there's about 9 weeks in a row where it's like wedding, F1, 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 wedding, F1. And I'm like, oh.
Well, at least like, selected a weekend friends. Where there is F1.
Mate. But sometimes I'm like, I just wanted to lay face down on my sofa. I'm just not doing anything. But yeah, that's a real first world problem, I appreciate. So don't feel too sympathetic to me.
Well, I mean, you know F1 so well, Nate, that you probably could just cover that face down on your sofa, couldn't you?
Do you reckon? I might start doing that. See how much of a race I could do face down.
Yeah.
Face down review.
There's our new feature for next year.
I mean, that would be dreadful.
Nate's face down review. It sounds horrific. That's controversial.
That was controversial. Yeah, I'm funny on my face down.
Did it make it a highlight for Barreto though?
No. I mean,
okay, well, what was one?
sorry. My highlight, I mean, you've taken a lot of the best ones. I think Silverstone, because that was probably the first one where we had we're back to full crowds and it felt like a proper event. And having covered almost all of them since COVID began, it was just nice to remember what Formula One used to be like when you covered an event. Just from, you know, driving in and seeing people and then just hearing the crowd cheer for certain moments, just it just didn't feel like an extended test session anymore. So I think Silverstone, and then I loved Zandvoort. Zandvoort is the one that I, when people ask me now what race they should go to, I don't know if they'll be able to because I think it's sold out for a number of years, but when they can, Zandvoort is the one to go to because it was just massive fever for the whole time that I was there. So I loved it. But then actual other highlights probably were hosting Kimi's leave and do. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Going karting with Lando, that was good. And then Medders probably won't expect this, but playing golf with Medland and Abu Dhabi at the end of the year was a highlight. Because part of the reason I love this job is that you get to do other stuff other than just, you know, cover Formula One, which I love. But it's an opportunity to go and do some really cool things. We played a championship level course in Abu Dhabi with our friends James Moy and the other Lawrence Edmondson. And it suddenly felt like this was starting to get back to the job that we used to do. I lost by one shot, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to be fair, you were like... Me, you and James Moy, I think there was three shots between all three of us or something
close.
Like that.
It was close.
Lawrence Edmondson was way, way, way better. But that was a lot of fun. That was really nice to do. And that was needed. That was in the middle of what had been such a tough, stressful run of races and days of work and travel as well and being in Jeddah. And I think I landed that morning and got like 2 hours kip and then went and played golf. But it did make you switch off because my phone wouldn't work either. So fortunately, there was no breaking news. But yeah, just switched off for an afternoon in the sun. And it was really nice to do. And you could have a beer, which we struggled to do. Well, hadn't been able to do for the week before. But that's definitely a highlight. Two names you mentioned there as well, Lando and Kimi. Two other highlights for me were playing the golf with Lando. Just because that was normal. There was no, you know, that wasn't a media event or anything that was organized. And there was no one kind of fronting up or putting on a face or something. It was just having some fun, hitting some golf balls. And I saw Lando in Abu Dhabi at the test. With his soon-to-be old roommate, Max Huitrell, who he currently lives with, but he's moving to Monaco. And he said to Max, he was like, yeah, like we played golf. And I'd said about, you know, drawing and stuff. And he's like, to be fair, yeah, we did tie over six holes, but I beat him on the playoff. And he said, but the way it started, and he said, we stood up on the first tee and Lando had hit a good shot. And then I dribbled one barely past the ladies' tee. And Lando was like, and I was just thinking, oh, who are these fucking idiots I'm playing with here? Like, what have I done? And he genuinely was like, oh, this is the worst idea that I've said I play with these guys. And then I sort of sorted it out and played on. I was like, oh, yeah, I got the feeling you probably thought we looked like absolute mugs the way it started. that was quite funny. But yeah, and the Kimi interview I did for a different podcast, I got 45 minutes with Kimi talking about how his career started basically in Qatar. That was awesome. That was really cool to do before he retired. So, there's been a lot of highlights this year, aren't there? I mean,
yeah,
there's been some mega races and just some awesome things even around COVID.
I think generally that was the cool thing about the year is that I think it's the best season I've covered kind of wall to wall. I think it's probably the same for anyone that didn't do like 2012, just because we had two teams in it. And there was genuine kind of needle between the two teams as well, which as the season got on, I found quite frustrating to cover because, you know, they were just throwing shots at each other, but it also made the job, it also added an element to the job that we didn't really have when it was just Mercedes out in front, you know, winning everything like that. So that was quite interesting as well. And, you know, kind of interesting to cover things in a different way, write things in a different way. And I don't know if you guys found the same thing, but when Mercedes and Red Bull, like both teams being in a championship fight, it was interesting talking to them during it. And, you know, a lot of people at those teams would almost try and sound you out about what the consensus is on certain things, especially on like the collisions between Lewis and Max at different places. And it was interesting hearing that because, you know, I guess when you're in a little bubble, you know, and that's at Mercedes and Red Bull, you know, you're in your own little kind of siege mentality. You think we're in the right completely. And then you talk to journalists outside, you're like, well, okay, well, I thought this and this and this. And they're obviously asking every journalist that. And after a while, they're like, okay, like journalists, this is kind of the consensus. It was interesting to see that just play out and the way that, you know, opinions maybe changed or how contrary opinions kind of were reinforced, even if they heard like everyone saying, no, we thought like Max was to blame and we thought Lewis was to blame, whatever. They'd be like, no, don't, everyone's against us. So I thought it was quite interesting. But yeah, I think a mega season. I'd give it if it was a Nate joke, I'd have given it a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, you're generous. No, I think it's true. I did.
The only thing that ruined it was Massey on the last lap. I think that's the only thing that you could say. Like, it was almost a perfect season. And then you had that at the end. It was just that, actually, if we're talking about lowlights, that last, the night after the race was awful. I think all of us felt it. We're just like, this is so shit.
Yeah.
We're just like, it's just such a shit end. And like, I had a flight to get quite early in the morning, but I was just like sat there kind of like, I don't know what to write. I don't know if I do want to write anything. And yeah, it was just, So that was that kind of sticks in as well. And I hope that feeling kind of passes because it was such a mega year.
Yeah, totally agree. It had the potential to ruin it, didn't it?
And again, before people, I'm not saying shit because Max won. I'm saying shit because of how it went down. Just before people start irate tweeting at me, I didn't really care which of them won. It was just the way it went down was sad.
No, I'd say we won in the sense of getting what we wanted as journalists when it went down to the final race, for starters, because we haven't done that in so long, and it deserved to. And then even more so that it was level on points. Like after that, in a sense, we couldn't lose. And then I think everyone lost in a way with the way it was handled. So that was a bit shit. But let's kind of like, it's a Christmas special. Let's be positive.
Well, it sets it up nicely for next year, I think, because they're still going to hopefully go head to head, and we might just get a second season that's just as good.
Yeah, that's true.
I
don't think it's going to be the massive like change of the pecking order that everyone thinks it will be, because things are a bit more set. Like the engine's going to still play a big part, and like that's not changing massively. So I think Red Bull and Mercedes at the very least will still be competitive. So hopefully they're both still in the mix. It's not like one of them's going to suddenly turn out, roll out the carriage, and be like, oh, we're 10th now. You know, it's not going to be that bad. They'll still be in the top kind of three or four, I think. Maybe top.
Yeah, they need to be though, as in like for this rivalry to continue and stuff. But yeah. I'm just a bit annoyed because you can see it in the arguments that do rage on social media that there's this people calling like Verstappen a fraud champion and stuff, and it's, you know, he's not, and it's nothing to do with him.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's completely all the anger needs to be aimed at the FIA for what happened, not at Red Bull or Verstappen or Horner. And people saying, oh, it's because Horner like complained on the radio just before. It's like every team principal and boss and everyone was always moaning at Massey. Absolutely everyone. Like there's nothing that says because of what Horner said that then Massey did it. It was just that that Horner was lobbying him like everyone was. So
which they're now stopping for next year, by the way. They're stopping that ability for team principals to talk to the race director for that reason. Which is interesting, wasn't it? That seemed to be where F1 had gone to Hollywood about things. We've almost had to step back from that and be like, okay, that was probably a bit too much. Found out the hard way, I guess.
But so I keep getting distracted because Stefano Domenicali keeps emailing me. This is ridiculous. Beretta, will you stop him? Yeah, it's like they're circulars, but it comes from the CEO's office, and you're like, what the hell is this? And it's just like a little Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays gif.
Oh wow!
From Stefano.
Happy Christmas, Chris.
And it's in lots of different languages. He's going to read them out.
Frosher within. I can't read that.
I love that you asked that, and then the Russian one came up, and the Japanese one came up.
Oh, that one. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Nailed it. Happy Holidays. Nailed it. Bon Natale.
Feliz Navidad. I can do that one.
Joe Noel. Oh, he's going too fast, mate. Olog Karagneg. I can't read that one.
No.
I can't read that one.
Wow. Good effort, chaps.
Sorry, if I've just insulted any of your native languages, I do apologize.
He doesn't.
That's just who I am.
But yeah, I keep getting dragged into the final race, and there's something else that Beretta put on the run plan here that is really tough to do, but I do want us to attempt it before the end of the special. Funniest moments of the year. So this came up as well on the F1.com. We were asked as like different writers to give like opinions on different things, and one of them was funniest moment of the year, and I couldn't think. And it wasn't that things weren't funny, but I couldn't remember a standout for ages. And in the end, I'll go first because I can see you both thinking. I don't know if Beretta's got one, but Nate, I can see you thinking. The one I went for was, and this is a hat tip to our good friend Josh Cruz, but it's not just because it was Josh's work, but it was Pierre and Yuki playing football in Austria during the Euros. They did a video of them in their full race suits, helmets, everything, under the bull at the Red Bull Ring. and just gave him a football and said, you know, have a kick around. And it turned into a wrestling match. That, like, as a point, I think Yuki goes flying in for a sliding tackle. And it was before the race week. You could genuinely have seen one of the drivers injured. And trying to explain that, I think, to Franz Tost, you know, why is Pierre out this weekend? Well, Yuki took him out at knee height, having to kick around under the ball would have been a bit interesting. So that was hilarious to watch that video. And they did a lot of really funny content, to be fair. They're not alone in that. But yeah, I was really impressed with a lot of that. So in the end, that's the one I picked. But I'm sure there's many more that I'm forgetting.
No, that's a really good shout. And you're right about Josh Cruz and AlphaTauri's content, because they came down to the ESPN NBA activation in Austin, full, you know, in full kit, helmet, and we're throwing hoops around. That was fun to watch. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because funny moments don't really stand out. One that always stands out to me, and it's because this is me going to self-promote a tweet of mine. My most successful tweet of the year was about Alex Albon. And the thing I found really funny was the idea of him doing the lap or laps of Silverstone. The day, I know he wasn't there, like everyone said, oh, they just made him do that. Like, he was there for a filming day. But Red Bull obviously then made him, for at least a portion of that, drive as if he was Lewis Hamilton and then as if he was Max and recreating lines. And then Red Bull went and took that data to the stewards to be like, look, we've got new evidence. Like, you don't have new evidence. You've just got one driver to drive in a certain way in a completely sterile environment, you know, compared to the race. And then the next race was when Bottas went into the back of Verstappen. So I tweeted like, man, Alex Albon's going to have a horrible time recreating that next week. And it just popped. But I just thought that was one of the more ridiculous kind of stories from F1. And it shows you sometimes, it was like when Ferrari, I can't remember the incident now, but Ferrari in 2019, I think, made a big song and dance about, we have new evidence on something, with some evidence. And they went to the stewards, and the stewards were like, all it was just Corinne Chanduk's Skypad review, which was hilarious. Nothing against, like, Corinne's a great analyst, but it was like, they made out like, no, we've got like unbeatable, undeniable evidence. It's like, no, you've just got like an analyst talking about, and the Red Bull were like, no, we've just got our reserve driver driving a certain line of Silverstone. And the stewards, you can imagine them being there like, are you kidding me? Like, this is what we spent a week preparing for, like this, like, and they just threw it straight out, didn't they? So that was quite funny in that sense. And just the whole ridiculousness of like stewards reviews was, some of them, sometimes you'd be like, this is just funny, not always funny, ha-ha funny. Sometimes like, what a funny sport we cover. Yeah. But that was one that was definitely, to me anyway, was ha-ha funny. Because yeah, it was just, I could just imagine poor Alex, like at the time, no F1 seat, just sat there driving around like, why am I doing this? What am I doing here? That's one thing I'm looking forward to in 2022 is Albon.
I was going to say, Albon at COPS is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
He knows that corner inside out.
Well, he still did all the other corners though.
He didn't try different lines there, did he?
Yeah.
Like, he knows how to overtake there now. He knows
overtake on Lewis, Lewis is going to be like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. I've got the super spy, the secret agent behind me.
But it's more that Williams is going to be passing the Mercedes. Well, that's the biggest story, surely.
Yeah, that would be.
We all know that's coming. Come on, that's an open secret. Elf, what was your funniest moment of 2021?
They all revolve around Danny Rick, I think. He did one interview in an American accent for the whole time and consistently managed to do that, which was cool. Then I interviewed him after Friday practice and he had one of those, you know, I have laughing shunts on this podcast every so often and he just kept shunting, and the whole interview went for 8 minutes, and then we had to go back and try and find a sound bite to give like the media of what he did. It was really, that was quite hard. But then and then he did a shoey in my shoe. I forgot about that. He did a shoey in my shoe.
Oh yeah. Was that Monza?
That was Monza, yeah. So what a hero.
Yeah, so, absolute hero.
Love the guy. So yeah.
Hopefully, and is that shoe signed?
I'm gonna ask him to get to sign it because it's currently nice. Not. It's currently in my shoe rack, unsigned. But clean though. Yeah.
So commoner.
Doesn't smell like.
Well, one of them's clean. The other one, the other one was not cleansed with champagne. Did you put it was the race winning champagne in, right? The one he had from the podium.
No, because that had already gone.
Okay. You bought your own champagne. Wow.
So we could only get whatever I could get from F1 Hospitality.
BYOB to the
It's when the drivers are walking around and they see Barreto sit there with a mic and a magnum of champagne, being like, right, guys, swig.
I'm going to go to this guy first.
That's why Kimi offered you to do the retirement thing.
Like, yeah, he's like, I like this guy's hosting.
I like this man.
So yeah.
Some good stuff. Cool. Yeah. Solid.
It's been a good year, guys. It's been a good year. Well, why don't we wrap up with a look to next year? Let's throw it forward before we go and eat lots of turkey and drink lots of mulled wine.
What so is stereotypical. But you're I'm both going to three bird roast.
But you're both going to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know about mulled wine. Don't know about mulled wine.
Okay. Well, other alcoholic beverages and non-alcoholic beverages are available.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our legal department are much happier with you right now.
People that don't like those beverages, it's refreshing to know.
Sorry.
I was going to say, make one bold prediction for 2022.
Ooh. Nate.
Thanks, mate.
Sorry.
I think, boldness. I think Albon will get on the podium with Williams. I think they'll make a little step forward. Albon, I think, is obviously, I really like him. I think he's a very good driver as well.
Oh, he's going to be decent next year, I think.
I think he will. And I think out of that kind of whole Red Bull program environment, it suits some people, it doesn't suit some others. And I think it will suit him not being in it and just the pressure that was always there. Let's say that. Albon on the podium. Like, obviously, I think that would have to be a messed up race. I don't think Williams will make a step to get there on merit, but they'll have a car that's kind of in the mix, hopefully, to capitalize on those moments. So yeah, let's say that.
Ooh, it's tough.
It's a tough prediction.
Well, the first one I was going to give is not bold at all. I was going to say Russell on pole at the first race, and I'm like, well, yeah, really.
I mean, that's quite bold. He's going to beat Max and Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, and at the very least, beat Lewis on his first qualifying session. I think that's fairly bold.
In new regs.
That's the thing. It was the new regs. So then I thought I might be more bold. And this might be more hope than expectation. I'm going to say half the teams on the grid win a race next year.
Wow.
That'd be good.
So five different teams that win races. And don't forget, we got four.
Got four this year? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's not, in a sense, it's not massively bold. But then, I mean, we had one win for McLaren, one win for Alpine. That was it this year. I'm going to go with five. Ferrari finally get back to winning ways.
I was going to say, Ferrari is the big one missing this year, wasn't it, that didn't win?
Yeah.
And last year, kind of missing from that top step. I'd go with that. I think that's a good, bold prediction. I like it.
Yeah. There you go. What about the hat wearer?
Well, now I don't know if this is going to be bold enough, but I was going to say a Carlos Sainz win and top three finish in the Drivers' Championship.
Oh,
no, that's bold enough. That's
very
bold.
Trust me. I can verdict that. That is bold. That's very bold.
Ask you to? How much did he pay you for this shout out for Carlos?
He did not pay me at all.
He's been sadly disappointingly quiet on this pod. Like, for those who don't know, Barreto and Carlos get on pretty well because they're lover burgers, I think, initially. Or at least you've made burgers with him. So that's what I'm twisting it into. But you are far too professional and do not leverage this in any way, shape, or form. And I expect more in 2022, frankly. I expect
that's
you to be
my,
far
that's
less
That's my bold prediction, is that we get Carlos Sainz on the pod.
Okay, yeah. Well, how about that can be my pad hoc New Year's resolution?
Yeah,
To get Carlos on here.
We all have to get one driver on the pod in 2022. There's a bold target for all three
there
of
you
us.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Okay.
And that'll excite people to finish. How nice.
Deal.
In 12 months, slightly they failed.
Spoiler alert, they did not.
No, we can do it. Because, Medlin, you've already got one on already, haven't you? No, we've got had two. We've had Pierre and Daniel.
Yeah, although Pierre was more through Nate, I think, to be fair.
That was a little voice note, wasn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm sure we can make it work. I don't know if anyone will talk to us over the off-season, if they're going to be willing. But,
over the course of next year. We can do it.
We very nearly had Pato Award on this episode, but I needed to take him away from the racetrack to record like a bit of a review himself. And understandably, he was not up for having to leave the track when he was chilling out and learning about an F1 car. So sadly, didn't happen. Just thought I'd tell you all that I failed.
That's okay. You've had enough success this year, Medlin, that we can overlook that failure.
That was a name drop.
Yeah. There's names all over your floor today. Which is fine.
Look at the smirk on his face. He's so happy with himself.
I'm happy with us. We've had a good year. It's been fun. Actually, we should probably say thank you very much to everyone for listening, because our listening figures have like the last month or two especially have really gone up. But it's just been fun to have like an engaged audience that do let us just, I don't know, shoot the shit and actually talk normally, and we don't get people coming after us for giving an opinion they don't like or something like that. So yeah, thank you everyone for getting involved, and we're gonna step up next year. We're gonna be radical. It's gonna go big. Nathan, no pressure. New mic.
61 second review next year.
Yes. So yeah, thank you to everybody for listening.
I concur.
I concur too. Yeah, thanks for engaging. Thanks for following us on our social channels. I mean, I'm not going to do the outro now, but I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening. Medis sends us the numbers every week and they have been going up. So we do appreciate you listening. It's just sweet that someone wants to listen to us yabber on, right, guys? Because we'd only be doing this in the pub anyway. Well, exactly. When we're allowed to go into the pub.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, those guys with the microphones are back.
That's not plugged into anything.
Yeah. They're like, these idiots. They're always
here. People tripping over the leads.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys have a great Christmas. And thanks to everyone who was listening as well. I hope you guys have a good Christmas as well. Please remember to hit subscribe and follow us on our social channels. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Medis' work on Racer.com, and many, 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 many other outlets. My work on F1.com. We'll do this again in the new year.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.